Well, hey, everybody, this is Mike from the Confused Breakfast Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and they just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Yes, I said it, 4.0. You know when you try something, AJ, like for the first time, like start a podcast, the first episode's like kind of okay, pretty decent.
Oh, yeah.
But then by the fourth episode, you literally perfected your craft.
It's perfection.
Perfection.
Yes.
That is basically what happened here with Manscaped.
Yes.
The Lawnmower 4.0. I am lucky enough to be one of the first people to try the new 4.0 after upgrading from the 2.0. 2.0 was a little better than the 1.0.
Yeah.
4.0, insanity. Oh, blown away by the performance, craftsmanship, and details. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, including the three hosts of this show. Use code CONFUSED at checkout for 20% off and free worldwide shipping at manscaped.com. Again, code CONFUSED at checkout for 20% off and free worldwide shipping. Go do it now. Seriously.
Jump in there.
And ladies, Christmas is coming. Great gift idea. Uh-huh. Holiday season.
Ladies.
It's like a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I mean?
It's not just a gift for him. It's a gift for you.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Hey, it's Andre Gower. You know me as Sean from the Monster Squad and my new documentary, Wolfman's Got Nards. You're listening to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Start the episode.
Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
I do.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to get off your couch. But there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and riding your bike back to your clubhouse. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me, as always, two guys that definitely have nards, AJ Venz and Sean Pryor. How the heck are you?
Yeah, man. Freshly shaved. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Big old hairy dork.
Yeah.
You got that manscape going?
I'm scaping that man. My man. My man's. Both of them.
Yep, two.
All three of them.
All right.
Well, we're delighted to have you here with us today, listeners around the world. If you are new to the podcast, you're at the beginning of an episode where we take a classic movie that you loved from childhood and give you every single bit of information you could ever need about the movie while dissecting it scene by scene. So stay tuned for all the fun. But before we get started, we want to tell you about a few fun ways to support this podcast and all of our efforts.
I want to hear them.
Way number one to support us, we got a voicemail.
Yeah.
The number is 319-804-9596. There's a link, and you just click the thing, and you'll just go right to it. We like when you call us. You tell us some funny stuff, and then we get to immortalize you on the show.
Please.
So here's this week's episode voicemail. Cool.
Nice.
Hi, my name is Tristan. I know it sounds made up, but it's not. I freaking love your guys' podcast. We live in Honolulu, Hawaii, and every morning I listen to your podcast on the way to work in traffic, and I think it's fucking hysterical. I had to add on the Jurassic Park episode that you all just let out. My cousin and I went to see it with my dad when I was about 5, and I remember being terrified. So, like, shortly after the T-Rex was introduced into the movie in theater, we had to leave. And my cousin was crying. I was crying. My dad was probably a hot mess. So every year when me and my cousin watch that movie, he just, you know, gives me a hard time over it. And I thought it was hysterical. But do you guys ever think that you'll do podcasts about the TV shows and not just movies? Because I know there's a lot of really cool old vintage TV shows from like the 80s, 90s that are pretty obscure that nobody really talks about anymore. And I'd like to hear your guys' theories on them and insights on it, because I think, again, you're hysterical and probably the best part of my day. Anyways, thanks for doing what you're doing. It's amazing. And I love you guys.
Love you too. God damn it.
From Hawaii. So yeah, we've been planning a group vacation actually where we could get away as a podcast group and collect our thoughts.
Yeah.
So we're just going to come to your house if that's cool.
Yeah, I'm sure she hears that. Can I come to your house? You live in Hawaii. It must be the best. And it's like, fuck traffic and everything. My question is though to you, that do you go to Jurassic Park all the time? Because it's
kind of right there,
it's
right?
It's right there, right? Have you seen the dinosaurs?
There's a real Jurassic Park near you.
Yeah.
That's another thing that she probably hears all the time. that's awesome, though, because if we're some of the best parts of your day, I don't know whether to apologize or to or to just say thank you. But I will say thank you very much for that. We love you just as much.
Yeah, as far as shows go, we got some things playing the pipeline.
Yeah, totally. That's a great idea. Yeah.
There's a show out there that I really loved during the 80s, but I watched more in my childhood was Growing Pains. I really want to hit that up, man.
Yeah, you bet.
I think that's a great idea.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, way number two to support this podcast, hook us up with some reviews. Subscribe on that favorite podcast platform. Apple Podcast is where you can leave some reviews. We like to read them on air. This segment's called Review Time.
Review Time!
This is from Nick F24. Keep up the good work. Ooh. Confused Breakfast Patreon member here, and I love the podcast. Every time I listen to an episode, I need to rewatch the movie. I enjoy laughing with y'all, and it makes my day better. Never had a Patreon account, and y'all are the only ones I subscribe to. Love the new merch, and can't wait for more of everything. That's Nick. I'm guessing that's Nick Fulkerson.
Yeah, that's my guess. Nick Thanks, dude.
Fulkerson.
Yeah, man. Like you've been here from the start. We love that you picked up some merch. We love that you're supporting us on Patreon. It means the world, man.
That is awesome.
You're fucking awesome is what you are.
Hey, all right.
Sure, he's never heard that before.
Oh, you never heard that one, dude. I'm brand new.
Let us know if you have heard that because that's pretty good.
And feel free to use it if you haven't.
Yeah, please.
And speaking of Patreon, way number three to support us, join the Patreon just like Nick. Go on there. We've got some amazing perks for you to show your support to us, including voting on upcoming movie topics and access to weekly episodes that is just for Patreon members. There's like nearly 10 hours now of audio and video there waiting for you. So if you've caught up and you're like, I wish they'd release something every week, there's more.
Boom.
On the Patreon for
you. The day after, buddy.
Yep. And also, our Patreon members actually just got to vote on an upcoming movie that I think we're going to go ahead and announce next week.
Yeah.
Coming up here at the end of October. They got to pick it. So we're here to roll with it. So go check it out. All the perks at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Here's a few of the newest Patreon sponsors. Jason Botsford, Stephen Moore, Chris Pryor, Paul Diaro, Jason Hahn, Buckaroo Bonsley, Jeff Spencer, Moth Maiden Creations, Travis Scanlon, Eric Hine, Michael Hodd, Gary McCarthy, Nathan Hill, Corey Vaughn, Damian Zemek, Jukes of Hazzard, and Ranger Rick and Sue Baloo.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
The list keeps on getting bigger and bigger, and those names keep on getting funner and funner.
Ranger Rick. All right, boys. So it's time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we discuss a definitive 80s cult classic, a movie that taught us that monsters were cool while giving us one of the best adaptations of Dracula ever put on film.
Uh-huh.
Some have called this movie a blatant ripoff of The Goonies, but many disagree. Mm. We are, of course, talking about 1987's The Monster Squad. And for those of you looking to get a refresher on the movie quick, feel free to pause, check out on Amazon Prime. I believe it was, you didn't have to pay for it. It's just free. Sitting right there, which is usually weird that this time of year, if it's a scary movie, they're like, no, you're going to pay for that.
Yeah. We're going to capitalize on
this. You can watch this in July if you want. But
we're
not
putting
now.
It in our special curated catalog.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We're bringing it back for you so you can pay us.
So before we get diving in on this with the scene-by-scene analysis, we'd like to get everybody kind of caught up on the movie. Sean hooks us up with all those pertinent details that we need to know. Sean, what you got, man?
Let's do this. I love this. The Monster Squad, produced by Jonathan Zimbert, Peter Hyams, and Rob Cohen. Rob Cohen, the director of Fast and the Furious.
Bobby.
Written by Shane Black and Fred Decker. Music by Bruce Boughton. Director of photography, Bradford May. Special makeup effects by Stan Winston. He's back again. And directed by Fred Decker himself. Cast, Andre Gower, Robbie Kiger, Stephen Macht, Duncan Rieger, Tom Noonan, Brent Shalom, Ashley Bank, Michael Faustino, Mary Ellen Trainer, Leonardo Camino, John Grice, Stan Shaw, and Jason Hervey. Co-writer and director Fred Decker started out in a writing major in film school, but wanted to turn to directing. After writing House, the movie, the 80s horror movie House, his idea for a creepy alien invasion film was greenlit, and Decker was set to direct his first feature, Night of the Creeps, which, if you haven't seen that, great Halloween movie. Go check it out.
Yikes.
While on the set of Night of the Creeps, Decker came up with the idea of for the Monster Squad, wanting a kid-friendly spin on the classic Universal monsters. Shane Black came on board to help out, having just written Lethal Weapon. Black's contributions to the film was mainly the idea that the father was a cop and those effects on the family. So
wow,
that makes a lot of sense. Andre Gower and Robbie Kiger were good friends in real life, and Gower helped Kiger get the role of his best friend in the film. Seth Green also screen tested with Andre Gower, but did not land a role, but did remain friends with Gower. Tom Woodruff Jr., who sculpted the Frankenstein design of the face mostly, also plays the Gill Man in the film. 1987 was a big year for movies and for Shane Black specifically. Black was in Predator and co-wrote Monster Squad. Predator came out in June. The Lost Boys came out in July. And Masters of the Universe, along with Monster Squad, came out a week apart from each other in August. The Monster Squad came out in August of 1987, as I just said, with a $12 million budget that the film only made $3.8 million of the box office back.
Yikes.
But garnered its audience on home video and many, many retrospective screenings, becoming a cult classic, which is why we are talking about it now.
I mean, from what I'm gathering is no one saw this movie when it came
pretty
out.
Pretty much not. Yeah.
And it's not like today where it could go to Netflix and survive, and then all of a sudden 6 months later people start talking about it. It just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. This maybe is the true definition of cult classic.
It's what it is. Yeah. I mean, Masters of the Universe is also kind of a cult classic thing too, where it just kind of got its audience a little bit later, but some movies just do that.
Yeah, it's a thing that just like packs out the like screenings of it now, but yeah, at the time it was just like it just got overshadowed by so many things. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't happen really that much, so
yeah
just crazy.
Well, next thing we like to do is we like to hook the audience up with a little insight about what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it, what our ratings were, what our thoughts were. Sean, why don't you start us off on this one?
All right. Well, yeah, like everyone else, when this first came out, one, I didn't exist yet. And I only heard about it from a filmmaker that I really like called Ty West. He was on Amoeba YouTube channel thing that they do where you can go through their whole Amoeba Music in California. You can go through the store and pick out what you like, and then at the end when you're done, you tell the audience about what's in your bag, and that's what the show's called. So he had Monster Squad in his bag, and he's like, "This is my Goonies," and I'm like, "I like you, so I'm gonna watch
that'll
that
perk
movie.
Your ears up a little bit."
And so it was about maybe 2015, 2014 when I first saw this movie, and just fell in love with it. Like it's. When I thought about it then, it was just like, this is ultimate fun, cheesy kid monsters, kids swearing. Like, how can you get any better? And yes, it is pretty much like the Goonies, but I think it's apples and oranges to me.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. But when I saw it then, it was probably, I would say, about a 8.
8. What did you think about it the first time you saw it?
When I first saw this, it was after my brother Ray, my oldest brother, did tell me about it, and I can't remember how old I was. I had to have been early teens, I think. But he showed me this movie, but I didn't connect with it. Like, I had already seen, like, Goonies. I had already seen Lost Boys. And so this felt way different from those movies. I was honestly a little bored by it. Like, I was like, it's not, like, visually stimulating to me. I was like, whatever I was doing at the time, you know, we didn't shut the lights off. We didn't, you know. I think he showed it to me, and I'll give it a 5.5.
Well,
5.5. So I've never seen this movie.
I knew it.
I'd never even heard of it.
Wow.
Until you guys started mentioning it on the show. I mean, it was like a thing where, like, oh, it'll be really cool, we'll do some Halloween movies, and you guys are like, Monster Squad! And I'm like,
yeah, let's do Monster Squad!
And like, yeah, I wish you would have made me record a like, what do I think this movie's about thing?
Yeah, I know.
Because it would have been like, I don't even know. I have no clue. And I just have never seen it, never heard of it. So I have zero. And I guess I fall into that category of kids that should have seen it. Cause I was five. Yeah. I would have seen it in the next couple years of my life, but it was such a flop that I never saw it. So then by the time it starts reemerging, I'm maybe too old for, it's a kid's movie. I don't want to see this. So yeah. So I've got an big old NA on my rating.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll decide. We'll see what my rating is after.
I'm excited.
Summer. All right, so before we get into this film review, AJ always does some research for us, hooks us up with the ratings and reviews of critics and fans alike. What do you got, man?
Where are we starting?
This is kind of interesting. I'm excited to see where this leads.
This is going to be a blood red on what?
The tomato meter.
Yes. All right. We did it again. Monster Squad, 60% on the tomato meter critical reviews.
Now, can that be modern critical reviews too?
It's got to be something around that.
It's some sort of when it came out, plus if any critic wants to write a review on it now.
I imagine that's what it's like. Yeah.
Because you got to think it was probably way less than that when it initially came
out. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the audience score kind of follows suit. It's in that understanding. It's a 78% from audience scores because they're the ones who seem to now resonate with that cult classic vibe, you know?
I bet that goes up every year.
It has to.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's only, when you consider, there's actually only 25 critical reviews on Rotten Tomatoes about this. I didn't go back and see like how many were like from that time and now, but audience score ratings continue to grow.
Nice. Maybe like a 0.0 every year.
0.0.
0.1.
If we move over to IMDb, do we need any guesses at all, gentlemen?
Tell us what it is, man.
7.0.
7.0, right on the money. 7.0. Huh? That's good.
61 on Metascore. Okay. So if we're looking, we get some criticals. Jason Clark from Entertainment Weekly. Fred Decker's 1987 horror comedy is totally the ultimate 80s movie. An agreeably goofy Little Rascals meets the Goonies time passer. The movie is proudly anti-CGI.
Nice.
Another one that I really liked reading through, actually, is from IGN. This film paints a nostalgic portrait of the fears we all shared as children. The common knowledge that when our parents left the room, the monsters under our beds or locked inside our closet started to shift and scratch. That our only friend in the midnight hour was the nightlight in the corner of the room.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Great.
I really liked that one. So there were a couple of negative ones, and I'll just give you the worst one. It was only a 40. TV Guide magazine said this second feature from director Fred Decker is poorly paced and haphazardly scripted horror comedy that is neither scary nor particularly funny. Too bad.
You don't think Wolfman getting kicked in the nards is funny?
Nope.
Even the least bit?
Nope.
Well, it's too bad.
Sorry.
That's unfortunate.
That's fine.
How about a good one, guys? 10 out of 10. Childhood Memories in January 19th of 1999.
All right.
Magruder said, this movie brings back childhood memories of watching TV all day long during the summer vacation. This movie was and still is one of my favorite movies of all times. Just watching it makes me happy.
Nice.
So what if the acting is not top caliber? It has a great story and the characters are all fun to watch. It is a highly amusing film that you should watch if you've never seen it.
Nice.
All right. Last but not least, 1 out of 10.
This is a fan review.
This is a fan review.
This is my favorite part.
This is Mike's favorite. He likes to get in on these. 1 out of 10. The one that you wanted on September 15th of 2020, titled, a character asked if a 5-year-old girl is a virgin during the film. That tells you all you need to know. Awful, period. And not even for the reason I put in the title of this review. The film is annoying and boring. Too many face shots of Dracula seems super strange. The action was not there. Just the after effects of the action, quote unquote. I think this was some kind of rush job to rip off the Goonies or something. Just lame and not meant for children or adults. Toilet trash and rats are most likely the target audience. Toilet trash? What kind of trash are you putting down the toilet?
Yeah,
man?
What are we talking here?
Don't put trash down the toilet. You'll fuck up your septic.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, damn. Inform yourself. The same guy who directed RoboCop 3 directed this film. That tells you how much the producers valued this trash.
I mean... but, I mean, he's got a point.
Okay.
We understand. Yeah, we understand.
We understand. So that was a pretty helpful one. 4 out of 15 people found that one pretty helpful. Wow. So.
Thank you so much for your time.
There it is.
When I sit down to rewatch these classic movies, I always have three things with me: my cat in my lap, my notepad, and a glass of whiskey. The whiskey is probably the most important thing, although I do love my cat a lot. I mean, let's just not tell him about that.
Okay.
I know, hope he's not listening, Sergeant Meowenstein. But these classic movies are so warm, nostalgic, which is why we love them and why we're here to celebrate them. So the whiskey does the exact same thing for me. It enhances these classic warm feelings. And I know you all well enough to know you're wondering exactly what type of whiskey do you drink, Michael?
What type of whiskey do you drink?
Dear Michael, what kind of whiskey?
What type?
Well, being from Iowa, there is only one choice for all things whiskey, and that is Cedar Ridge Distillery.
Oh, yeah.
From their flagship bourbon, quintessential American single malt, and even their collaboration with Slipknot. Yeah, I love that, Sean. That's a soundbite, actually. Sean didn't do that. You cannot go wrong with this Midwestern staple. All of our local fans likely already know about the number one selling bourbon in the state of Iowa, but some of our listeners from the rest of the country maybe haven't heard of them yet. That's all about to change since Cedar Ridge is growing and expanding like crazy, especially after winning Distillery of the Year in 2017. So it makes complete sense that one of the fastest growing podcasts in America is working with one of the fastest growing whiskey distilleries in America that is right in our backyard. If you're in Iowa, pick up a bottle today and support this amazing local company that is supporting our podcast. If you're elsewhere and you are a whiskey fan or have somebody in your life who loves whiskey, look them up, find out where you can get a bottle. You can order online and have it delivered right to your house, or you can pester your local retailers to order some. Do yourself a favor, click the link in the show notes to find out more. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
Cedar Ridge Whiskey.com.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
Ryan Lambert here. You might know me from such things as Rudy from the Monster Squad. I killed all the things. You're listening to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Let's get back to the show. You know, if you want to be in the goddamn club.
Well, my dudes, what do you say we head to the clubhouse, read some comic books, talk about virgins, and maybe find some time to hunt and kill some monsters?
Are you kidding? Yeah, dude.
Welcome to spooky season.
Rad.
Here we go. The story opens in Transylvania in 1887. Van Helsing tries to destroy the evil amulet and defeat Dracula, but he is sucked into a portal. In the present day, we meet Sean, Patrick, and Horace, who have a monster-loving club called the Monster Squad. Sean's little sister Phoebe, older tough kid Rudy, and little Eugene join the club.
Yeah, man. What do you think of these opening credits?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was hocus pocus for me.
Yeah.
Where you've got the old timey scene that sort of sets the story, and something bad happened and it's kind of creepy, and then we move into the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The part I knew what I was in for here, and I knew that it was 80s, was when it starts and they put the title screen up, and it's like long time ago, and searching for the emu, and they tried to destroy it. They blew it.
They blew it.
I was like, this is so 80s. I love it. I was like, okay, cool. Here we go. Let's do this, man.
I love when they get into like the castle. You can tell that the bats are on strings. And I think it's intentional. Like, it's right. Got to be. Like, they know what they're doing. Like, they reference all these Universal monsters anyway. And they have this immaculate makeup you're going to see later on. Obviously they could have done better, but they're going to do that just because that's what they did. They wanted to make it look like it's fucking Dracula from back in the day. And I think that's really charming.
Yeah.
But I thought it was like creepy and eerie, that whole scene. Despite some of that, like, there was some cool effects going on.
Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't have walked in there.
No,
I'm not going in there.
I mean, when they first walk in, they see that vampire, that female vampire eating like a rat
or like a possum,
or something. It's like that could have been anybody. That could have been like just a sexy homeless woman.
Yeah,
we just blew her away.
You don't know what Transylvania was like.
I mean,
back
goodness,
then.
Shit was wild back in the day, man. All right, like where do you think Amsterdam got all those ideas?
People lived to be like 31, so that, I mean, she was living her life.
Yeah, she was just living her best life, just tearing into an armadillo.
That was her catch of the day, man.
That's right.
She was actually trying to offer some to Van Helsing.
Yeah.
He killed her.
Yeah, just boom. A stake right to the heart.
Yeah.
Apparently, I think it was Shane Black or something, just had these grand ideas for this movie.
Oh,
yeah. Grand ideas. Yes, yes. He was just like, no, when this, we're going to start out. And it should look like basically Lord of the Rings at Helm's Deep or some shit. We want like villagers and like army people like storming the castle. And it's like,
wait, one second. Hear me out.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. Right.
So
what do you got, Shane?
What we're gonna fucking do, dude, is straight up. We're gonna have like 80 vampire women on horses coming in, like on fire, dude. Okay.
The horses are on fire.
And the chickens and the turtles and all those. His idea was like way grand than like that, like. That his opening would have been the entire film's budget, pretty much.
Oh yeah,
I love it. And I they could pull that off nowadays with CGI and stuff like that. But I'm glad they didn't go with that kind of shit.
It still wasn't. I'm watching it modern day, going, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So where I can imagine, had I seen this in 1987, I would have been like, oh my God, there's a portal. Yeah. What is happening?
No way, dude. If I was one of those villagers, I was just like, I was literally just farming cabbage and you brought me up here. What is going on?
Well, it's like the classic Frankenstein thing too. Like they're battering down the door to get to the guy, the bad guy that they think is bad. Who in this case is bad. But I like the, when Van Helsing is yelling at that poor woman, that poor virgin, he's like, we are going to die. You know, it's like, well, if you quit fucking yelling in her face, maybe she could read in German.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good
tall order, probably even back then.
Yeah. Good God. I mean, like, just quiet down a bit. Like, the music is overbearing. You hear this music, right? You know, I mean, it's like full bore. And it's storming, and there's a portal, and there's vampires. Like, just give me a break a little
bit. We all know we're going to die.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah. Come on.
So we get to meet the kids. Who was your favorite kid the first time you watched this? Like, these movies, you always associate yourself with one of the kids.
I always related to Sean just because he was in my name.
Totally.
And he spelled it like me. So I thought that was really cool, but it changes, but we can get to that later.
Oh yeah.
What about you?
I didn't pick one yet. You know, like this is more of the critical viewing. I don't know. I'm guessing I probably would have related to Sean as well, just kind of the leader kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm guessing most people kind of did that, right?
Yeah.
He's the Mikey of the group.
Exactly.
Sort of, you know, yeah.
Well, I was gonna bring it up too. I'm like, I hope there's like a movie out there where there's like a leader that's named AJ, because we have Mikey.
There we go.
Who in the Goonies, and now we have Sean. In the Monster Squad, and we have AJ and
nobody.
I'm just a nobody.
Like the Christmas Chronicles,
right? Yeah. Christmas.
That would be ideal for AJ if this was a Christmas movie.
That'd be wonderful.
I'll tell you what though. Like, oh yeah, do you have somebody you associated with?
So I'm a very very hard cross between Rudy and Horace.
Yeah.
So,
hell yeah, dude.
So, I wanted to be really cool like Rudy, but like, and there was a time in my life where I got like picked on like Horace. Then there was a point where I didn't like to see that happen, so I was more like,
right,
like Rudy.
Right.
I also figured out and learned how to talk, and I could like, people would be bullies or something, and I'd just talk them.
Yeah,
you could talk your way out of it.
I could just talk them out of it, and like, or I'd make fun of them harder than they would be able to make fun of anybody else.
Have you guys thought about investing?
Yeah,
like, you probably should.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
I loved Horace. I thought that there was kind of a poignant scene there where he was getting picked on, and they're like, "What'd you say?" And he like. Normally, the kid getting bullied would be like, I didn't say anything at all. But he's still like, under his breath, goes, I said you're an asshole. Like,
yeah. Horace, yeah.
Yeah. And like, normally that doesn't happen where he knows that he's going to say this and then he's going to get beat up. But I thought it really kind of set up his transformation at the end. Like, Horace always had it in him.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he was ready to take on a bigger role in his life. He just needed like that extra push.
Hell yeah.
He was getting there. But like, because normally the bullied kid just runs away and trips and everybody laughs at him. Yeah. He didn't. He stood up to him.
Hey guys, how about we have a, we do the math squad? Or-
yeah, right.
That was my other thing is like, that's why I was like, I was just, I could never shut my mouth. Even if I was getting like picked on a little, I was getting picked on like someone like
just shut your mouth, you'll be fine.
I could easily just get beaten up, and I would just never shut my mouth. And
is that all you got?
Yeah, it's like you should just.
Well, it's even hard to take those bullies seriously because like Jason Hervey, I think.
Wonder Years. Back to the Future as well.
Well, yes, that's right.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right.
They're doing their like microphone bit. Like, let's go on our man on the street. And then he hands him the mic. And he has a mic in his hand already, fake mic. And then takes the mic. And then it's like, get your fucking bit together if you're gonna roast somebody, dude.
Put together, assholes.
God damn it.
God.
Jeez. But then Rudy shows up. Yeah, just man. Like a stallion. What I couldn't figure out.
Is he a man rocket?
I would think so.
At that age.
Rudy's just straight up heartthrob at that age, for sure. Like, had this movie really, like, become an insane cult, like, sane following back then? Yeah. I think completely.
Yeah.
But what I couldn't figure out upon third viewing, even, like, why does Rudy even want to join this monster squad?
Yeah,
correct. Isn't he older, right?
Yeah.
He's smoking cigarettes. Like, what is the point of him wanting to be involved with these younger kids?
I think it's kind of a cool thing because, like, he's a kind of a kid that's living out of his era a little bit. And I think that he is into these dark things and he just doesn't kind of know it yet. I think he's just trying to find himself, but he's firmly in that like 50s new era, you know, in the 80s kind of look, like greaser kind of look.
Yep.
And so he's kind of fallen into with these kids and they're like, well, they like monsters. Like I've seen Frankenstein, I guess. Like that could be cool. I think maybe he's like maybe new in town.
That felt that way too.
Yeah.
But everybody was scared of him. Like EJ and his friends were like, oh shit.
I heard he killed a man.
He's like,
is that what Phoebe says?
I think so.
That was like under completely, you didn't see her even saying it. It was just like alternative dialogue where she goes, I heard he, no, she says, I heard he killed his dad.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what little Phoebe said about Rudy.
Oh my God. When,
I heard that on the last watching, did not hear that the first time through.
I just always think that Rudy is like, maybe he got like held back a grade. Maybe that's why he's like older, but hanging around them or something that you're just like, why are you here? And then because even the bully is like afraid of him. He's like, oh no. Or if he's just like in the older grade, the loafers is what set it off for me.
With the white socks.
With the white socks.
Yeah, man.
And then he strikes that match or whatever on the heel. It's just like, what are you doing? And I don't know. The bike was even old school, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. That whole vibe though, man. I just really love the redemption of him like making him eat that candy bar.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, fuck you, man.
So good.
But speaking of Phoebe, I'm pretty sure Phoebe's my favorite character in this movie.
100%.
She's normally I hate the little kid tag along but God, she's incredible in this movie. She's so funny. Amazing actor, like that, those lines she said about like, yeah, I heard he killed his dad, and just the way she delivers those lines are so good, right from the start.
Well, she turned down a role in Fatal Attraction, I believe, to be in this movie.
Wow.
And that movie was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Like, huge, huge, huge. I mean, she didn't turn it down. Her parents did, probably.
Right, okay.
But yeah, I think she's incredible. Like, nowadays, she is my favorite character, bar none. Mm-hmm. So much fun.
Scary German guy. Because, they show, that's when they meet Phoebe, and then they're outside the scary German guy's house.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a house like that? When you were growing up, like there was the scary house in the neighborhood.
I didn't have that, man.
We had that, and it was our babysitter.
Oh no!
So I went in that house daily.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't like a, I guess, mysterious thing, but there was like a mysterious like room where she just let like all the kids like roam around the house because she was quote unquote babysitting and letting us watch Red Dawn and.
This lady.
So there was this room, and like she would never let us go in, but like obviously we wanted to all the time, and it just stank of cigarettes. And she would just like she like had emphysema or something, and she would like cough up into like these Kleenexes and then show us what's inside.
No.
Wow.
And
God.
So that's our house.
So you had a scary German guy house.
She was straight. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so moving along, Dracula brings the mummy, Gillman, Frankenstein's monster, and the Wolfman to life to help him find the amulet. Sean's dad is a cop and is called into work to investigate the shooting of the Wolfman and the disappearance of the mummy. Fearing that monsters have come to town, the group goes to visit scary German guy to translate Van Helsing's diary.
Nice. So the fact that the mom just gets this book from a garage sale. Like
a garage sale. And I think it was the house that the Dracula like takes over.
Oh, okay.
Did you get that? Like She said it was from the house up on whatever street. And I'm pretty sure that's where the house is.
Shadowbrook Drive or something. Yeah, like that, really. She said. Yeah, this is my only problem with the movie is that the plot and like how things are brought in, like the book, they're left up to us, kind of, and that's fine, but we don't have enough information to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, if we got fed that stuff, and I know there was 13 minutes cut out of this movie, and maybe that's like where it was cut or something like explaining these scenes, but that just seems like that seems very
kind of important.
Well, it's important, but it seems like, oh, I just got out of a garage sale. It's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they just threw it in there. Like, you know, it's like, but that seems very, very important, you know? I don't know. That's my, like, maybe my only gripe about the movie so far.
Yeah. It feels like they couldn't have done something. I'm going to do this right now, so I apologize to anyone listening, especially Andre Gower, because we actually talked to him a little bit at one point in time. And I'll apologize to you, my friend, but it's like they couldn't have done like a little like Goonies thing. It's like, oh yeah, I found this book. It's just like, it's just like, you couldn't give me like some little teaser of just
tell
like
me how important this is right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, show me how important this is. Like just a little bit.
I didn't pick up on it the first time I watched it of how important this scene was.
It is. Yeah.
But it just kind of went.
Yeah. Like
you're absolutely right, dude.
Just a little tease of just something, some music or a slight zoom in on that book.
Oh, you like, yeah, like, even like a sting is what you're saying.
Yeah, just I like, hear oh that. Man.
It's, yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, okay, well, we're just going to throw this out the window.
And it becomes a joke, which is kind of a funny joke,
to be
honest. Like, he's like reading through it and he's like, oh, it's his diary. And it's like, oh, this is like original thing. It's in German.
Yeah.
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you catch, you know how she wrote on the whiteboard, like, hey, so-and-so called about the diary. Did you see at the bottom it said Van Halen diary?
No, I just.
So mom wrote that. Mom's like, Van what? Van Halen? No, so yeah, it said Van Halen's diary. I thought that was a cool
now,
little
Now, is
nod.
He the one that hunted the monkeys? Like, no, that's King Kong's. All right.
Okay.
Fucking Mary Ellen Trainer, dude.
She's been, this is her third movie she's been in. Of ours,
wow. Right.
That we've done so far. And Goonies, she was Mikey's mom.
That's right. Yep.
So there's a little correlation there.
Greatest mom in the entire world. Like, yeah, she worked with the one of the other actors in Die Hard the following year, I think, in 88. Mm. Yeah, I think the dad, I'm not sure. But
yeah,
one of these actors she worked with again, like, right after. And she was in one of my favorite Christmas horror anthology things in Tales from the Crypt. I forget all through the house or something like that. It's really fucking great, but I think it was written by Shane Black. I think that's why. Sorry. Anyway,
where did Dracula get that car,
dude? So it's a rad fucking car.
You know he went to West Coast Customs
or like, Zombie's house.
They're like, yo, dog, I hear you like death and skulls, man. Like, we're gonna put a giant skull on your hood and turn it into a hearse.
We're gonna make it smell like death inside.
He just went and knocked on the door of like fucking Herman Munster and was just like, hey, can I borrow your car quick?
Remember me? I thought that car was dope.
It was awesome.
There was also at that moment when he's got the car and he's assembling he pulls up upon the town and he overlooks the town and it's starting to lightning and he says, let it begin.
Let it begin.
And it zooms in on his face and that little flash of when it turns into a skull. That works for me.
Yeah,
that is
cool.
Awesome. That is just a cool special. There were many moments in this movie I would have been scared shitless as a kid had I watched this. And I love those little things that they added for special effects.
Yeah, that scene is really cool. I mean, like every time that dude is on screen, like you said it in our little intro thing, but like people think that this is one of the best portrayals of Dracula ever. And I think they're right.
He's supposed to be like stoic and almost inviting to a degree, but he obviously he's extremely creepy. But it's just like he is a really, really good interpretation. Maybe only done out by Leslie Nielsen in Dead and Loving It. But yeah, that's what.
They said in 2006, I don't know if you read this, Wizard Magazine made a list of the 100 greatest villains of all time. Dracula was ranked number 30 on the list, but surprisingly, it was for Duncan Regger's performance in this film. His performance was chosen over all other versions of the character.
It's crazy.
And I completely agree, man. Yeah. I think he's awesome and terribly frightening in this movie. But I have a question for you. If you were going to recast him, who would you pick?
Ooh.
Somebody popped in. Two people popped in my head right away. Not saying they would be better, but I just saw them in this role.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you who I got, and you can tell me.
I'm going.
Who you got?
The first person that popped in my head is Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
In, like, Vampires Kiss Nicolas Cage. Holy shit.
Wow.
I'll tell you. I have two.
Okay. We might be on the same page here.
Okay.
What you got?
Okay. Willem Dafoe.
Nope. But that would be good.
Steve Buscemi.
Ooh.
Wow. I could know.
About it.
Great.
About it.
No, Rick Moranis.
Oh, damn it. I was going to say Rick Moranis.
No. I've got two, actually. I felt like it's because they look like him. Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin, for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Like, looks like him. But most importantly, Charles Rocket. The dad in Hocus Pocus, and he was Nicholas Andre. He was the bad guy in Dumb and Dumber.
Oh.
He looks like him.
Oh, yeah, he does.
100%.
He was dressed up like Dracula in Hocus Pocus. That's what it was.
That's why you missed. Yeah.
Because Charles Rocket could have played Jack Dracula in this movie. did you pick up on that line from Horace, too? I didn't know if this was a nod to Home Alone, which came out in 1990, but sorry, if Home Alone made a nod to Monster Squad. But Horace, they were talking about Scary German Guy, and he says, firstly, he's scary, okay? And B, he's German.
Yeah, that's right.
it's like when he goes A, 2, and D, when Buzz says that in Home Alone. I thought that was pretty cool, too. Horace is great, man.
Horace is really good.
Yeah, he is. And I have to say this before we get too much further in about kind of what you're talking about, the lightning and the skull. And like, it's like a lot of it's very kitschy. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of it feels like it's definitely shot like on a soundstage. Like, I feel like when they're in the swamp or like, you know, a lot of these things. But for something, there's something about that that makes me feel like that actually adds to the creepiness a little bit for me.
Yeah.
In this movie. It's kitschy, but it's creepy. That's all I can really think to say.
And a lot of it was shot on like the Universal backlot where like Psycho and shit is and like all that bullshit. But like, I think that adds to the charm. Like, whatever movie is shot there, it just, whenever you see a shot in a movie from that soundstage or from that backlot, you're just like, there's so much history already.
Right.
Whatever they do to the set to make it their own movie, it still has that like sheen to it. Like, it's like still has that still has that car smell, you know, or like some example like that, you know. It still has that feel to it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love that about it. And then that's what I mean by the bats on strings. It's like they know what they're doing. They're shooting in the Universal backlot. It's like every fucking director wants to shoot out there, you know,
somehow being very aware of itself but also not paying any attention to itself. I don't know, it's really tough to explain.
Well, I have to bring up Uncle Rico as the Wolfman. Well, he wasn't the Wolfman in costume or anything like that, but he was the human version of what turned into the Wolfman.
Yes, it was called, there was actually a name for him on the cast.
Crazy guy in costume.
No, it was weird. It's a desperate man. Desperate man is what his title was.
That's right.
Great character actor. Super, super fun to see him in this. Like, I never really realized that, but a great portrayal of that, I think, is like, he fucks people up in that police station.
Yes.
Like, he throws people through glass and everything. It's kind of crazy looking.
And he's like, kill me. Like, shoot me and kill me.
Lock me up.
He's a nice guy. He doesn't want to turn into the Wolfman.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no kidding.
What was what do you think the scariest of the monsters were?
Probably mom when she finds out she's not going on a date
tonight. Oh, damn. That's kind of unreal. I mean, come on, he's doing his job. Like, what are we so mad about here?
It's like you can just tell, like, this has got to be like how many nights in a row that this has happened. And like, she's like setting the dinner table for, like, I don't know, they must be just going to the movie or something like that, not going to dinner, I guess. But man, you know, I don't know how many times you guys have had a similar conversation with either a mom or a significant other, or who, a woman in your life, or maybe it was with each other, and you're just like, well, it's my job, okay? And then it's just the death stare of just like, and it's just silence. It's like, well, I'm sorry, I've got to go because it's important. What do you expect me to do?
Yep, just the stare.
Well, now you're just being unreasonable. It's just like, you're wow. just making your own arguments.
I did have an answer for that, but now I don't. I'm changing it. I'm changing it to mom. Jeez.
It's like those eyes, man, were piercing. Maybe just as much as Dracula.
It's like 2,000-year-old dead guys don't just get up and walk away. Cut to the mummy fucking walking away.
That's pretty good.
So it's a same cut in Night of the Creeps that he does. It's like an homage to his previous film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, I think it's like dead guys just don't get up and walk away from the morgue, and it cuts to a zombie walking on the street or something like that. It's really cool.
And they, if you haven't seen it, you know, we'll talk about it a little later. Wolfman's Got Nards is the documentary about this, but it adds a whole nother layer of some stuff. Like, it talks about, I was like, Gilman? Who the fuck is Gilman? Yeah. I've never heard of this, but it goes into detail more about how they didn't really have the rights to use these.
They had to change characters. Them slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was supposed to be Creature from the Black Lagoon, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Which I would have recognized, but then I'm like, I've just never heard. Maybe I've never heard of this Gilman. But I thought that was probably the most terrifying of the monsters. That's a scary, scary thing. I'm never swimming in like random swamps ever again.
I might agree with you. Like, the look of it was pretty cool. Like, I got to be honest. Like, Stan Winston, all the effects in this movie, like especially the creature designs, are so good. Out of all the effects, it's bar none the makeup effects that stand out, especially Gilman. And the person who, Tom Woodruff Jr., who had to play Gilman, films shoot for like 12 hours a night. And so when he got in that thing, there was like little sight to see. Like, he couldn't really see much. He couldn't really breathe much. He couldn't go to the bathroom.
That's terrible.
It was all one piece pretty much. And he had to be stuck in there for as long as they were filming his scenes. And it might be why he's not featured much in the movie. Because you don't really see him all that often. So, but I can only imagine. I mean, he probably did it just because he's like, I know what the makeup feels like.
Yep, let's do it.
I know how to work with it. I'll just be the guy.
All right, so let's move this along. Frankenstein's monster is reluctant to aid Dracula and wanders into the forest, where he befriends Phoebe and the rest of the monster squad. Dracula finds the amulet and begins to make plans to obtain it. The monster squad assembles a plan to prevent it.
I got to go back just a little bit. It's my favorite scene of the entire movie, is when his dad, he has to go to work. He's investigating that mummy being missing and everything like that. And he can't go to Groundhog Day 49 or whatever the hell it is. And, then he comes back and Sean's on the roof watching from the drive-in, which is super fucking cool anyway.
From the cliffs of the town,
it's
apparently,
so
too.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
It's like way up there.
And it's like a matte painting and everything to it. It just looks cool like on camera. But the aspect of his dad is like a fan of these movies too, along with him, is like super cool. I don't know what it is about it, but it's my favorite thing about this movie. Is like his dad just like, I got you some burgers, I got you some drinks and stuff, and it's like, give me them binoculars, like what's happened so far. I love that aspect, and I gotta believe that's like Shane Black and Fred Dekker coming in together and doing that. That's my favorite part of the whole movie, and it's just so lovely. I love that sort of father-son kind of thing, like, hey, things are shit right now, but we're going to get away in one of these movies real quick.
Well, you know how we talk about props that we want from a movie? I want that burger, because that made my mouth just salivate for some reason. Like, for that old packaging as of fast food.
Yeah.
Man, I wanted that. I immediately wanted a burger.
The crumpled up white bag.
Yes, the bag. That's what I was going to say. It's just like that white bag that you just know that it's got to have at least like three burgers in there or something.
Maybe some fries in there.
At least some bag fries, you know, because he probably ate some on the way home.
But
you're just like, but it's true. You're just like, and like a drink. unique too. Like, I don't know. There is just something about that that just makes you want it so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's my prop. I'm taking it. You can't have it.
My prop is when we get there later, Frankenstein gets that mask costume out of the box. I want that mask.
Okay.
Hardcore. Mm.
What do you know? You going to think about it a little bit more? That's a tough one.
If anything, it'll probably be Rudy's sunglasses.
Damn, I thought you were going to take the car, Dracula's car. No. I could see you rolling around in that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Rolling around in a Swisher.
Like when Dracula brings everyone together and they finally get Frankenstein, like, from the box. His cane has the, like, his bolts in it. And like shockers or whatever, like shock pads or whatever the hell it is, connects them to his antennas on his forehead or whatever. And I was like, has Dracula ever jumpstarted a car for somebody just like that? It's like, hang on. let me get my cane. Let me grab my cane. It's kind of a cool looking cane. I know that. Check this out. The ears come off that. You like that? He's like, you're gonna put that on my battery? Yeah, I just put it on my battery. We have to wait till it storms though. Just so you know, I can't summon it right now, but it should come. I think Kyle Mara has a lock on it.
So what do you do for a living? Just having an awkward conversation for hours. Yeah. So
waiting for a storm to come around.
You know any virgins around here?
Hey, you want to
hey, you want to see some ladies?
He probably had to take a taxi to get to that car. I mean, and then he had to jumpstart that car because he hadn't seen it in a while.
True. He had to deal with Rent-A-Center.
He did.
He had to deal with fucking we drive you home people, whatever the hell it is.
Enterprise.
Yeah. He's got to go get an account with them. And that's a whole thing.
Humanized the goods.
He didn't have Dr.
Alcala.
He forgot his wallet in the plane when he fell out
of it. Damn it. Do you think, but that begs the question of, is this car an actual real car or is it just a ghost car that can drive through other cars? Like maybe he just summons this car.
Maybe.
It's a good point.
I don't want to dive into that. We'll be here all night.
That's deep, friend.
I thought one of the coolest scenes, I guess, I was trying to view it as a first timer, because I was a first timer, but that, like, the mummy in the closet was
mummy came in my house.
I thought, like, with little Eugene, right?
Yeah. And
when that door opens and dad's not looking and the mummy's just there, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah. It is, man. There's some creepy aspects of it, and it goes back to just like that a dad just being a dad and being like, I am so sick of your shit right now. You're not coming into bed with me and your mom. This is my night. Like, you're not going in there. And then he's like, oh, the closet. Oh, well, nope, there it is. Oh, the closet. And then he closes the door back up. And I'm just thinking, how did the mummy get in there in the first place?
And why was he there?
What is he doing? What is he doing?
And then he left.
Around? Yeah. And then he just left. He had no agenda. He was already with the other monsters.
He doesn't travel very fast.
No,
so.
He doesn't have fast travel ability like Skyrim or some shit. There's no way. And like, I don't know if Mummy's got some special abilities, but he just, there are so many unanswered questions about that particular scene.
Was he looking for the book too?
Right. Because
he only told Frankenstein to go look for the book.
Right, but he's like, oh, I'll do it too. Maybe they walk so fast that this was a pit stop for him. He just is like, I got to find a closet.
I'll just cover your guys' tracks. I'll see what's up here. I don't know.
Bounce around a little bit. He's probably cold. He's like, these wraps really aren't doing it. I got to find a sweater. But he was a small guy, so maybe he found like a kid's closet.
Right.
That's what it was.
I think this is in this scene. I fucking spit out my Cedar Ridge when they go to get Rudy. They find out from Scary German Guy that they gotta find a virgin, and so they go straight to Rudy, and he's sitting there drinking. And they're like, Rudy, you know any virgins? And he spits out his drink. That is like a 2 second scene. That is so goddamn hilarious. They just cut to him like, Rudy, know any virgins? Spits out next scene. that I rewound that. We talk about rewindability all the time. Yeah. That was my favorite scene of this movie.
I think the scene before that too is Robbie Kiger and Andre Gower are talking about like what they have to do. It's like, well, apparently in this book, like we gotta find a virgin that also speaks German to read this spell, and then it's gonna open up purgatory, and then they're all gonna go in, and then we'll be saving the world. was like, yeah, simple. Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll just do that.
Makes sense.
So yeah, okay. Simple enough. Yeah,
Rudy will help us.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine.
I had to close caption on the second one because, you know, sometimes the older the movie is, sometimes I can't understand some of, like, the audio is a little weird. I think it was this scene or it was a little bit later. They were on the walkie-talkies, and Sean's talking to Patrick, and he says, good luck, butt love. It says, good luck, butt love.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Yeah. What are we referring to here?
Dude, there is I'm just saying, there's like some almost very forced dialogue, like insults, just boys being boys and making fun of their friends, that it's like, it's kind of over the top. And like, even Horace calling that one kid an asshole, it's like, it just seems almost very out of character. But that's the way, like boys would like talk. They'd find a way to force it in. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just shoehorn that talk.
Get it in there. Just cram it in there.
Yeah. Just cram it in.
In Scary German, the guy's house, they get there and obviously they're very threatened by him. He's like, it's time is almost up. Time is almost up for pie. Just grabs the knife or whatever and puts the pie on her plate. I love that aspect of it. Was like the scare guy is usually the guy that helps you. It's like Home Alone, but I do like, and it's kind of like a, like, oh shit, this movie just got fucking deep and made me think a little bit. When they leave, he's like, oh, you sure know a lot about monsters, and he closes the door. He's like, I suppose I do, and he's got the Auschwitz tattoo.
That's a harsh cut.
I was like, damn, like,
yeah. That didn't need to be there at all, but it was awesome. Yeah. It actually showed you a lot about, like, okay, yeah, this guy, yeah, he might seem scary, but like, actually this guy's like genuinely a sweetheart and wanting to help, man. That took me a second. Whoa.
That was heavy. It's like,
do they ever say his name, Scary German Guy, or is it just Scary German Guy?
I think it's just Scary German Guy.
It's just Scary German Guy.
It's literally
credited as Scary German Guy.
I mean, he wasn't very scary once we got to meet him. He was actually pretty sweet.
Very nice German guy.
Yeah.
Very genuinely sweet German
guy.
Very
nice, helpful German guy.
So at the end of this scene, Monster Squad, I mean, you don't have an 80s movie without a montage, right?
No.
They're going to assemble. They're doing AJ's favorite thing. They're powering up. They're building their arsenal.
That's right.
That song was terrible.
You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
I liked it a lot.
Rock Until You Drop?
Dude, I liked it a lot.
But I could see...
Rock Until You Drop.
It seemed like something Wet Hot American Summer, like, covered as a joke.
But it was like it had, don't get me wrong, it had those like 80s like montage vibes that I love so much. But it was just like less than of what some other ones have been, you know, that I've loved for some random reason. But Rock Until You Drop.
It's like it was It's like it was trying to be the next Monster Mash to a degree.
It's something.
You know,
I think that's what I like.
It's trying to like, it's like, oh, let's try to incorporate a dance to it almost. And like, Rock Until You Drop, the Monster Mash. It's like, what?
But don't get me wrong, it fits and it works. Well, it works very well.
Also, before this too, we get Phoebe and Frankenstein moment.
Yep.
They do the Frankenstein thing where he comes up to the girl in the movie where she's picking flowers or whatever. And so that's a cool like throwback to that. But Phoebe coming in clutch and just being like, don't be such a chicken shit. Just makes them all be friends. And then we get like what I say on this week's Patreon, the perfect fall shot.
Yeah.
And it's the group, it's the Monster Squad with Frankenstein.
Dude.
With Tom Noonan. We have to talk about Tom Noonan. But
yeah,
the perfect shot. It's just like an orange skyline and they're walking towards that. And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's the shot of the film, I think. And like, will be my, you know, Facebook banner for all fall time, pretty much.
I was just like, oh, cool. That's the end of it. And they all live happily ever after. I'm like, cool. They didn't have to do anything. Wait,
yep.
It's still going.
Montage
we're still
time.
Going.
Yeah, the dude that played Frankenstein's monster, who was that?
Tom Noonan.
He did a great job.
Such a good job.
I, I read that that he like was a true method actor in the fact that he never once was around any of them
during the movie ever
unless he was in Frankenstein's Monsters
and
get up.
Only acted as Frankenstein, only did that voice around the children. And yeah, when we saw a screening of this movie in Andre's documentary Wolfman's Got Nards, and the question the Q&A afterwards or whatever, somebody asked him, was like, so what do you think of Tom Noonan? He's like, we didn't know Tom Noonan.
Wow.
We didn't know him at all. I've never met Tom. I don't know if he still has or not, but or anything, but it's like we didn't see him on set.
That's amazing.
And he was just Frankenstein. It's crazy.
It's probably pretty terrifying though too for the kids, right? I mean, they were younger kids, especially Phoebe. That's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he was giant.
He was a big guy. Huge guy. Again, I need them shoes.
Yeah, right. Give me the pair of them shoes. All right, so scene four, the amulet is buried in a stone room beneath a house that Dracula and the other monsters now occupy. The monster squad break into the house and acquire the amulet and narrowly escape Dracula's grasp with help from scary German guy. What's the matter, AJ?
It's just with the help of... It's not the scary German guy.
No, yeah, you can't say
scary
the.
German
scary
guy.
Scary German guy.
Funny to me.
As midnight approaches, the squad makes their way to a local cathedral to make their last stand. Dracula draws the attention of Sean's dad.
I like it's a pretty cool, believable werewolf transformation a little bit before this scene in the phone booth.
Yeah.
Where he's calling the sheriff's always like, that was me who just escaped or whatever. And the camera just kind of moves a little bit and then like shows him as a human, but then shows him as like almost
halfway,
but the lighting and everything looks like really harsh and creepy, like American Werewolf in London did. Like where it's just like you see a werewolf transformation in full light.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is rare, and they didn't do that back in Wolfman days. But I thought it was just like really cool makeup and really really clever.
They did a lot of that scary stuff well. Like this haunt when they finally get to this haunted house of sorts. There's some terrifying scenes there as far as like when they keep turning the corner and someone else is coming at them.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that very, very well to make you feel trapped in that house kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, it was really cool. I like the three girls that he has, like as snacks or whatever he said earlier in the film. It's like... They're almost scarier to me than like actual Dracula for some reason.
And the way they just all held their arms kind of out while they walked.
It just kind of floated.
Yeah.
It seemed. Yeah, it was cool. And we get the famous line of Wolfman's Got Nards. Like, kick him on the nards, kick him on the nards.
Wolfman doesn't have nards.
And then kicks him in the nards and boom. It's such an iconic thing. I don't know how you, like what's the iconic moment from Goonies? If we're going to compare.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Guys.
Probably that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the, if you're asking anyone who's a fan of this movie to like quick favorite line from Monster Squad, it's probably 9 times out of 10 going to be Wolfman's Got Nards.
Wolfman's Got Nards. Yeah.
It's so, but that's the childish part of this movie is it's like a scary moment, but then there's just this funny little kids like, no, he's got, no, can you believe dude fucking got Nards? Oh, I told you he's got Nards. Oh shit, we got
to
run.
I told you. It's like, yeah, and we still have to keep moving along because we could still just get mauled by this guy. Fuck.
There's a lot of that 80s. I do remember the word Nards a lot from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And they use the word dork.
Dork as
in three different fashions. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Like I hadn't heard most of these. They use the word dork as like stop being a dork, you know, like a geeky kid. They also says he had to wear pants so you wouldn't see his wolf dork.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're referring to dork as a dick. And then they even said, have you ever been, Rudy asked the girl, have you ever been dorked?
You ever been dorked?
So I only knew this as you'd stop being a dork, like a nerd. I never heard these other terms of dork before.
It's mostly a dong reference. Like
it's mostly dog.
Yeah, it's like everything is just wieners to these these boys. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I know every time I get home from doing a podcast until like 11 o'clock at night, I dork myself.
Just dorking around.
Dork.
Ew, you know, weird.
It's fine. That's why you gotta let it out.
Yeah. Dracula like pretty much attempts complete and utter murder against kids. Like, he assumes they're in that playhouse, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he throws dynamite in there, like, to just straight up murder these kids.
Yeah. And it's funny to me. It's hilarious to me, actually. Like, Dracula, the Prince of Darkness.
The fact that he has dynamite.
That's his weapon of choice.
It's a tight weapon, dude. If you know how to utilize dynamite,
it's bold.
It's a lot of power.
God dang.
So if you notice, the house that they're living in and the neighborhood they're living in is the same neighborhood from Lethal Weapon. And if you look closely, you can see Murtaugh's house just out of focus in the background.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so
same year. He must have just been living there.
Same writer. Yeah. It's crazy. It's cool to know that that Murtaugh's family and the Monster Squad, Sean's family, live in the same neighborhood.
Dude, property values went down so bad in that year in that neighborhood. You had the Lethal Weapon shooting going on.
There's two explosions.
You did not want to live in that neighborhood in 1987. It was bad.
Imagine trying to be a real estate agent and explaining why the house is so like
my signs in the yard on the news.
What is the house haunted?
Well, not exactly. Not exactly.
I kind of laughed out loud. I'm still trying to, maybe you guys can help me through this. I'm still trying to figure out how to TikTok this when the mummy's chasing their open air Jeep at nighttime down the road. It felt very Jurassic Park when the T-Rex was chasing them. I don't know how to piece these together.
Yeah, that's where Spielberg got it for sure.
Spielberg's like, holy shit, if we just had a T-Rex coming down, instead of the mummy, that'd be amazing. That was kind of a cool way to get rid of the mummy, though.
Yeah, I liked it.
Like, kind of a nice, that's some nice special effects.
Definitely. It's didn't he unwrap him?
He shoots. Rudy shoots the arrow with his gauze attached to it. It hits a tree and then it just unravels him.
Yeah, I mean, what more do you have?
You're amazing.
You're a dust.
Very,
mummy.
Very Scooby Doo aspect of that. very Scooby Doo to me.
If it was the dark universe that they're trying to get up now with Tom Cruise, it would be like, but then the dust becomes something else. It becomes in the air and it like takes over a tree, and then the tree is CGI and tries to kill Tom Cruise. It'd be like fucking stupid.
No, just end his life now.
Yeah, please.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, can we just do it practically, please?
Right.
Did you know? Like, I was picking up on some more dark aspects, like the whole Dracula thing. You can see when Sean's dad's like now gonna start running, like he's like, we gotta go save Sean, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Mom's bags were packed.
Right. She's ready to go.
Whoa.
She done.
Whoa. Did not see that.
Yeah.
She's until later ready to viewing. Go. She's leaving.
She really wanted to see that movie.
scariest creature of the movie.
I'm telling you, man. It's about a ain't much scarier than that when you're a kid, huh?
Everyone's got their qualms, but then it only takes your partner dying to give you guys back together, maybe. Like,
is that all?
It sucks seeing him go, because I liked him a lot. Del's partner.
Oh, yeah.
Murtaugh, pretty much.
Dude.
The Murtaugh to his rigs.
Yeah. I was like, shit, they killed him.
They never spoke of it ever again. No one cared.
They're like, oh damn it!
So at the end, he's like, yeah, we're the Monster Squad. It's like, that guy died.
did anyone? Okay, never mind.
I think he's still burning in our car.
Oh my god!
I did like
that smell.
Good lord! Sorry. I did like that special effect though on how they showed Dracula turn into the bat, but they did it via shadow against the house.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was kind of cool, right? I mean, again, it's 80s, and it's like, oh, okay. Like, but I thought that was a cool way to show it happen.
On a budget, yeah.
Like, on a budget, right? You don't have to show him, and you can show the mom reacting to seeing it happen.
Yeah.
And then no one caring that the guy just blew up, but that's fine.
It's whatever.
All right, so the final scene, the monsters close in and the squad deduces that Phoebe must complete the task of opening the portal after Lisa's failed attempt. In the ensuing battle, Dracula's consorts are defeated. Dracula arrives to destroy the amulet when Frankenstein's monster intervenes. Phoebe finishes and opens the portal, which consumes the monsters. Van Helsing appears and pulls Dracula to his doom. Frankenstein's monster is also drawn into the portal right before it closes, ensuring the world's safety.
Nice. So I didn't know. And this is really cool, though. Like, it adds to, like, the lore of werewolves, I guess, is that, like, yeah, the only thing that can kill a werewolf is a silver bullet. And, like, they can't think of anything else, right? And so when they blow that whole thing up, like, they throw him out the window and blow the wolfman up, then he becomes a T-1000.
Yeah.
And then now
shit.
And it just, like, regenerates itself, and it's, like, crazy. Like, that's, yeah, that's
that
was cool.
That should have destroyed him. He blew up completely. Right. No, we didn't.
Well, that was the thing. Like, what they said, they were literally quizzing Rudy in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And they're like, name two ways to kill a werewolf. And it's like, well, silver bullet. Well, yeah, everyone knows that way. And it's like, I don't know. And he's like, what do you think? And they're all like, well, I don't know. Like, none of them have an answer for it.
There's not an answer.
There's not an answer for it. They're just like, drop him out of a building or like something like that. Run him over. And like all these references that they're trying to think of. And yeah, doesn't happen.
Dracula just straight killing people with dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that shit.
He's just going to town with that stuff.
the whole like battle of like Rudy and like the bitches.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the damn club, ain't I?
That's tight. Yeah.
Such a cool line.
He's got the cigarette in his mouth while he says it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So cool. And like the idea of like a bow and arrow with stakes is so cool to me. Like I love that aspect. And within like the montage of them gearing up and everything, like you can see that happen.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. But Horace's like redemption or yes. like his hero moment of when we finally see Gilman again pop out of the sewer and all the two bullies are in that shop or whatever. Yeah. It's like, let me in. And like, we're not going to let you in. Just takes that fucking shotgun, blows him away. It's like, do you know what you just did? Like, you killed the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Like, you killed Osama bin Laden.
You know,
that's
did it.
Basically what you just yeah. did. Like, yeah. you're going to live this in infamy forever.
Right.
You know?
And that was the moment that powers him up to say his name's not Fat Kid.
My name's not Fat Kid.
It's Horace.
The name's Horace.
Horace.
Hell yeah, dude.
So badass. When we saw that in theaters for or the screening of Wolfman's Got Nards, man, the theater just erupted.
Yes,
yeah.
It was so awesome. Like, I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
I just did, too, and I wasn't
it's
there.
It's just like, yeah, and you're just like, yeah!
Well, it's a cool story, too, because he unfortunately died pretty young of pneumonia.
Yeah.
And he was going to school for, like, being a lawyer or something like that, and, like, in that period, he just contracted pneumonia and died.
Yeah.
And so, in Wolfman's Got Nards, it's a really, really touching tribute to him, and that's what made it even more powerful. Just knowing that fact, just and the name's Horace, it just makes it really, really cool.
You have to, if you're listening to this, you're clearly a fan of Monster Squad. You have to watch that documentary.
It's literally like, forget any special feature
yes.
on any of the versions of the DVD or the Blu-rays or anything like that. If you want like the complete history and future of what this movie did,
mm-hmm.
you watch right. that. It's the complete definitive like telling of what this movie is.
Yeah,
and it's on par with the movie. I think like I don't know if I won't even want to watch this movie ever again without pairing
right,
it with
right,
the documentary.
Dude. Right,
yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a fascinating watch, and I have to Brent Chalam, or is it Calum?
Something, yeah,
something like that. But that's Horace,
yeah,
who did, yeah, who passed away.
The not just to go back to that though, with the Horace scene and the comic book store. What comic book stores open at midnight?
Yeah, what,
what are they doing in there?
Yeah, like was this a 24/7 joint? Do they have adult comic
maybe
books
the
in
dad,
the back?
Maybe EJ's dad owned it.
Yeah, there we go.
Like,
yeah.
Let's go to the comic book store.
Yeah.
Because it was midnight.
It's adult comics.
Yeah, adult, you know,
some gotta, manga going on in there.
Yeah. You know.
See a lot of dorks.
Man.
Dorks and gazungas.
Just
oh, man. Well, and you know, if we're at the end of this movie, that's such a touching scene with Phoebe and Frankenstein. Mm,
so good. Well, first of all, before that, God. Where Dracula straight up calls her a fucking bitch. I mean, I'm like,
you do not see that coming.
If you call any little girl
how
like
does he
that,
know that in English?
A bitch, This movie's a masterpiece. I'm like, every time I see that, I want to cheer. I want everyone else to cheer with me. Like, yeah. It's just so great.
People gasp in horror, but yeah. Sean's like, yeah! Yeah!
Fuck it!
What a bitch!
Fuck yeah. That bitch! No, I just think it's hilarious.
It is pretty awesome.
But apparently during the making of this, like, she was, or the guy who played Dracula, Rager,
yeah.
Duncan Rager.
Duncan was pretty sweet all around to like all the cast members and everything like that. And like when it came to this scene, as he's lifting her up and calls her a bitch and does the hiss and has like the red eyes and everything like that, Fred Decker gave Phoebe the directions like, you just got to react. And she's like, well, what do I react to? She's like, you'll know.
Wow.
And so that's like the first time he ever like really like got into it and like scared, like that reaction that she has on film is her real reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Totally genuine. Just, and it was like, it was almost kind of like what Tom Noonan did, but yeah. Almost the opposite where he was very, he was around the cast and, but he didn't put in like his fangs and red eyes and like, yeah. Like contact lenses or whatever. He didn't like, you know, act that up. Until this moment.
It's crazy. This moment.
I don't know, man. I think that might join the list of your top, some top screams.
Honestly.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Saying.
Phoebe's still the star of this for me.
She's like, number one.
The sad ending, and she throws what's the name of the stuffed animal?
Scraps.
Scraps. She throws scraps to Frankenstein. Like that, it was apparent that she like always had this on her, and she was right. Willing to give that away to Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
As he went into limbo for
bye,
buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Hope you find your dad. Yeah, that's so sweet. I loved it. I love the ending to this. Like, and I love like in the gear up montage, Eugene. Writes the letter to the army. He's like, hey, army guys, we're going to need you. And they show up. He's like, where's Eugene? I love that.
There ain't no army showing up for a thing written in crayon.
No. God
damn it. Boys. Just when I thought the earlier song was the worst song ever, this song plays.
Come on, man.
This one's even worse.
Come on, man. It's the fucking Monster Squad rap. Let's go.
I'd rather have... T-U-R-T-L-E power from the Turtles than this, because it was very similar, by the way.
When the monsters come out at night.
Yeah.
It's an awful sign. it's just so bad. They're like, hey, write me a rap in 2 seconds. That's all you have. Just first words that come to your head, just go.
The monsters? Okay, so Wolfman come out at night with fright. That's good. We'll do that.
Go. Okay. Go. Yeah. Yeah. And then what's the title of the movie? Monster Squad. Monster Squad. Okay. That's the title.
Squad.
Yeah.
Squad.
Quad.
Quad.
Yeah. Yeah. Quad.
We got. There's a quad in there.
Yeah.
Sheriff's had one.
But come on. It's 80s, and I say that in jest because it fits so perfect.
Absolutely.
It fits so perfect.
A movie like this that ends with like its own theme song, you're just like, yes.
Ready to start it again.
Yep.
And just go play it again. Let's do it again.
Roll it.
Well, anything else you got before we give this thing a rating?
I'm good.
Nothing at the moment, man. I think, I think it's great. I think it's a fun watch, man.
Well, why don't you give us your modern day rating then, AJ? What do you think, man? After this critical rewatch.
Yeah. My critical rewatch. So finding this to kind of revisit and kind of fall into the fandom. That was surrounding it as well. Certainly knocked my score up a decent amount. I finally kind of understood what my brother was talking about. You know, when you get to experience it with so many people who are like that excited about it, it's kind of hard not to fall in love with it a little bit. And although I am still a Goonies fan, probably more so, I definitely rose up on this movie. I think before I do that, I have to say I asked Andre Gower a question when we got to meet him.
Yeah, this is great.
And I asked him, you know, more or less like who he hated, who he disliked more, like Goonies or who was the other one? I don't know. And he said, "Look, the Goonies is awesome. You know, they saved their town. They did what they did. They found pirates and they fought off the robbers. But the Monster Squad." saved the fucking world.
Okay. Okay.
And it was like a mic drop
moment. It was his mic drop moment. Again, a goosebump moment for me almost. So, and he's right. He's like, man, they saved the world from those monsters, from the universal monsters. So I've got to take it on up too. I'm going to give the Monster Squad an 8.1.
Wow.
8.1. Yeah. Sean, what about you, man?
Yeah, everything AJ just said. Like, this movie is just so charming, and around Halloween time, I'll save it for that specifically. Like, when we went to that screening of Wolfman's Got Nards, it did just kind of re-emphasize my feelings toward the movie, just because Andre was such a down-to-earth dude, like, and was excited, yeah. Like, and to be honest, like, we were in Iowa. It's in Independence, Iowa, at a theater. There weren't many people that turned out. There was a good amount, but not many. He was just as excited to talk to everybody, yep, as he would be with, like, a huge sold-out screening of the film, I would imagine. He wanted to get to know and talk to everybody, and he was such a fucking nice guy. And so with that aspect in mind, along with the movie, it's too much fun. Like, it's everything that I want. It's my Goonies. I'm staying where I'm at. I'm at an 8.
8 for Sean. I totally agree, man. Again, this is the first time I've seen this movie. First time I've heard about it. I watched it twice. And then I watched Wolfman's Got Nards. I was probably going to give you like a 6.5. Mm-hmm. But then I watched Wolfman's Got Nards, and the Andre and Ryan and all of them, and how they spoke about the movie and what they all went through, mm-hmm, making this, and then it just being nothing,
yeah,
and them not even wanting to tell people they were in the movie.
God, I know.
That's so shitty. But then to see it really get what it deserves, and to see these genuine people that are like, this is my favorite movie in the world, and I love it. And see, the girl that cries, like, when she's explaining the end of the movie.
Yeah, yes.
And so again, I went up to a 7.5 from 6.5 after watching Wolfman's Got Nards, because they were so cool, and so cool enough to leave these voicemails for us, mm-hmm, and introduce the show. I mean, people say it's a blatant rip off of the Goonies. I completely disagree. Sean said, I think it's completely different.
Yep.
Yeah. This is more of like a teenager's movie than like it's teenagers and adults looking back on childhood, yeah, as opposed to kids in a movie going, this is about me. It's
right. Yeah.
It makes sense that it didn't work at first. It you know, it makes sense.
It's an oddball movie.
Completely, man.
I mean, Goonies is kind of cut and dry, but not like in a bad way or anything like that. But just, you know, this one's got a little bit more meat to it. You know, mm-hmm, it's got a little bit more teeth, I think.
Yeah, so we do want to tell you, though, so Andre Gower, you heard his name earlier on the show. He was the main guy that put together Wolfman's Got Nards.
He directed it all, yeah.
Immediately go watch it. Stop what you're doing. But also, he had a heart attack.
Yeah, just recently.
Like 4 or 5 months ago. Very healthy guy, just out of nowhere. Things kind of went
wrong.
He was
doing like a workout campaign on his Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, he's like reposting people just like working out, doing like a campaign thing, and just randomly happened.
And he's doing better now, but racked up quite a bit of a bill. There is a GoFundMe out there that I'm definitely going to throw some money at him at. We put the link in the show notes here. Mm. Go, I mean, like, clearly, go out, watch the movie, support the show, buy the movie, donate to the GoFundMe. I mean, these are good people, and they deserve
totally.
It. So,
totally.
Yeah,
100%.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Means the world. Obviously, we love having you here. Tune in next Wednesday. Another great episode. We will be reviewing Ghostbusters.
Ooh, we're getting our Rick Moranis in.
Rick
Moranis.
Our Lord and Savior.
Wow. After that, our lovely Patreon top tier members have confirmed Ernest Scared Stupid.
Ooh.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
You done and did it.
So, yeah, go check out the Patreon. We'll hope you'll continue hanging out with us every Wednesday. There's going to be another vote coming up. We're going to vote Christmas movies is what we're going to do here
soon.
Oh,
yeah.
So, and here's the last of our remaining Patreon members: Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Kale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, Skylar Brunson, Jordan Hooten, Brenna Meisner, Willie Cox III, Janelle Lewis, Joseph Thomas, Marshall G., Riker Garrison, Mitch Kavanaugh, Ryan Carlton, Sean Dixon, Dana Dane, Josh Miller, Macy Connor.
Good Lord.
Good God.
We're gonna have to switch off, maybe. Maybe we take a group of names. And,
yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
So you can breathe, man.
Maybe we'll put it into rap form and make a Monster Squad type rap.
I fucking hope so.
Dana, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia,
Willie
Richard,
yeah. Willie Cox, three. Oh, yeah.
I hope you're still listening. All right, well, I think that's it for us. AJ, tell us how they can take us out of the whole thing, do that kind of thing.
Thanks for listening, guys. The most important thing you can do right now is to follow us on social media. At Confused Breakfast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And if you're on Twitter, Confused BeFast. You should also subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast platform of your choice that you're listening to on right now.
Also, will you please visit our merch store? We have merch, you guys. Shirts, stickers, koozies. Go check them out at confusedbreakfast.bigcartel.com.
And don't forget about our voicemail number. We want to hear from you. We want to hear those sexy voices. 319-804-9596. You can find links to everything at our website, confusedbreakfast.com. Tell your friends that's your mission this week. Get them to listen to an episode.
Guys, you can always find me anywhere on social media. It's AJ Venz, AJAYVENS, anywhere on social media online.
You can find me TikTok and Instagram, SeanPryor237. Goodbye.
And I'm generally called Mikey Schulte on things, but sometimes I'm not. So you're just going to have to like click on the links and the things and find us, okay?
Yep.
Got it.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Goodbye.
Deuces.
Bye.